When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
De repente un tercero y gol desde la 4. Con pistola. Brady con punteo largo. Hacia, viene la carga. Brady se percata y lo capturan. En la 10. En la 10. Creo que es la primera captura con uniforme de piso de Malik Reed.
Oh, you know who that is. You hear that voice. You hear that accent. And he's speaking Pittsburghese in Espanol, right? Let's welcome Alvaro Martin to the airwaves, to the locker room with us here. Alvaro, how are you, my friend?
Very well. You know, bye week, so I'm in the hot tub. I've got I got to protect my vocal cords. I've got the whole scarf like Pavarotti. I'm taking it easy now.
Now, is there any lemon in that tea? That's the question. Is there any lemon in the tea or honey? What are you putting in the tea to keep the vocal cords loose?
That's proprietary. That's trademarked. So I really can't share that.
Okay.
That's beautiful. Now, here's the one thing. Do you like put an ice bag on your throat when you lay down after one of your games? You know, you sit down and you got to ice them vocal cords out.
No, I just use sign language. I just don't use my voice at all. If the other person doesn't understand, that's their problem.
Alvaro, that's just great, man. And I love the call.
That's tremendous.
That was Tom Brady, right?
No, and that's Malik Reed getting a sack. That's important.
That is. That's very important. Now, I got to ask you, what's the spirit of Steelers Nation in Mexico now? All right, you get a little feel. You had a week, a bye week. You're icing down. You got your tea going, and I know you got to be like interacting with some fans and everything. What's the general pulse and read down there?
Well, you know, when you've gone through the worst part of the season, where opponents have a 62% winning percentage combined, then you take a week off. You get a couple of great players, including the best defensive player on the team. Which I tend to say in my broadcast, it almost has the equivalent effect of a quarterback getting hurt or not getting hurt, which is TJ Watt. And then you get a finishing run where opposing teams have a combined 44% winning percentage. You know, your heart skips a bit. You may just think you may have a chance to make a run at the end of the season.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things I kind of said before the break, Alvaro, is that we look at these teams and the secondaries by schedule. I think we're like the bottom three as far as the opponents we're going against in their secondary and what that means for our receiving core, even without Chase Claypool. Opportunities are there. When we look at the Chase Claypool trade and the other guys that we have to step in and kind of fill that void, I mean, what's your general sense looking at Steven Sims and Miles Boykin as they prepare to put their hands in the pallet in a more offensive sense as opposed to the team and special teams aspect?
You know, they will contribute, but the only thing I'm concerned about is who's going to score touchdowns. Now, Chase didn't, other than his rookie year. That wasn't part of his production, but it's going to be Diontae Johnson and Pat Freiermuth. I mean, who's going to put the ball in the end zone? You know, Gronkowski, Rob Gronkowski could always do that. He did great things along the way, but you could count on him to get those 6 points. That is the really the opportunity and the concern right now for Pittsburgh for the rest of the season. Let's find out the guy, him, who's going to get those touchdowns in the red zone.
I agree with you. Look, you know, I've been such a fan of Pat Freiermuth all along just because of this young guy. He just has a knack to find some of those open spaces in the end zone when, you know, real estate down there is not easily given out. There's a lot of nooks and crannies you got to dig around and find when you get down inside the low red zone. And he's a guy that I think certainly we can use him, and he can exploit secondaries, especially with the absence of Chase Claypool. Pat Freiermuth is like a big wide out in many ways. But you also got the 6'12", and what I love about the 6'12" is that is a big body that can do stuff like tight end delays, because even a 6'12" guy can get lost in crosstown traffic in Times Square, right? I mean, yeah, you're right in the middle there. Right, and you got all this stuff going on in the box, and you just kind of, oh, okay, the pass rush is on. I'll just kind of drift out here. And then, bam, you know, you can get a nice 7-8 yards of crack with that guy.
No question about it. There's also, you know, Kenny Pickett is one of those rare quarterbacks. He doesn't do it all the time, but he's one of those rare NFL quarterbacks that will throw the ball before his intended receiver turns to watch it. I mean, many, many quarterbacks don't do that. They need to see the separation. They almost need to make the connection, visual connection, and then I'll throw you the ball. When it comes to Freiermuth, you know, it's like George Pickens. You put the ball in the zip code, and he'll go get it. With Freiermuth, you put the ball in the window, and he'll catch it. I mean, it's amazing to watch some of these throws. But Kenny has that confidence in him. One of the good things about the tough part, first part of the season, and this is something that was done out of necessity, but I think it's been very, very good, is probably starting with game, I don't know, 4 or 5, they started really circulating and rotating offensive, you know, ball carriers and pass catchers. And so everybody's activated. At this point, anybody can make a play, really. And that's one of the good things about Pickett and the way his emergence in the team. Everybody gets a pass. Everybody's involved. He doesn't fixate on this one and that one and the other one. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that turns into perhaps more confidence, more knowledge. Hey, we're here. We've got this in front of us. Maybe that's the way to go. I'll be looking for that. If not, I'll be looking for the other one. Those reads, I think, are going to get better and better and better. And the fact that everybody's involved, I think, is a very good thing. Zach Gentry's involved. Everybody's involved. And so, to me, that's one of the – you suffered through the first half of the season, but that's one of the good byproducts coming out of it.
Now, question I'll ask, is this a byproduct? Will the run game get a boost after the bye as a byproduct of going through that tough gauntlet in the first part of the season?
Gentlemen, the Pittsburgh Steelers are averaging 4 yards a carry. I mean, it wasn't like that 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's actually getting a little bit better.
Right.
Not great, but better. I think Derek Watt, we've talked about it last week. I think Jaylen Warren have had an effect in that too. I think the tight ends have helped a little bit. But we've seen slight improvement. All you have to do is keep improving. You know, New Orleans, interestingly enough, New Orleans is not a team that's going to scare you with their pass defense. They really won't.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry, the run defense. The run defense right now, they're allowing 4.5 yards a carry.
Well, 4.5 overall, yards a carry. They're just, as a defense, they're not, to me, I didn't see anything last night that scared me.
I think the front is pretty stout. The linebackers are good, both tackling and potentially on a delayed blitz, it can cause some havoc. They can do that. But overall, the secondary, Latimer being injured, they've got some holes. And so will this offense begin to do the things incrementally that they started doing literally in the last 2 or 3 games and just build on it? This is not going to be a 5-yard carry team.
Let me just
2022.
I want to just clarify, except for Cameron Jordan. I love DeMario Davis in the middle, but Cameron Jordan up front, I was a teammate of his dad's. Steve Jordan up in Minnesota my last couple of years. And his son, Cameron Jordan, is quite the ball player. In his 12th year, that kid, I remember he was just a little guy, just running around up there. And I can't even believe now he's just a 12-year NFL veteran. Just amazing.
He is also the guy who disrupted Lamar Jackson the most last night. Came close to doing some tackling behind the line, you know, tackles for
right,
loss.
Right, right.
You know, he really that's going to be a handful for you know, Chucks on that right side of the line. He's very quiet. He's not demonstrative. It's a little bit like Cam Hayward, although Hayward had to, I think, a little bit more of a flash of a temper. Jordan's really quiet, but he gets the job done.
No, he absolutely does. And you know, he's actually one of the kids. He's a Chandler High kid from out here, Wolf.
Who's that? Cameron Jordan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because Steve still lives out here.
Oh, Steve lives out in the valley.
Yeah, I see Steve. We work out. He works out at Exos.
Okay.
So I get to see Steve, and you're right. I mean, when you look at this Saints squad, I mean, he's the unequivocal leader on that defensive side of the ball, and everybody kind of plays off the emotion of Cam, which, I mean, let's just face it, sounds familiar because it is familiar.
Yeah,
another Cam leading his defense. But like you said, it's thoroughly unimpressive. The rest of that defensive front, outside of a couple of bright spots, and I think there's an opportunity there for us to really take advantage of how we address this team, how we pursue them, and you know, Alvaro, I don't know how much of the game you got to watch last night, but I mean, you know, outside of Lamar Jackson and that threat, I felt like, you know, there just wasn't a sense of comfortability by this offense that's led by Andy Dalton. I'm trying to figure out how a nice way of saying it, mm-hmm. but they don't look to be in control at any point either. And Andy Dalton looks just as shifty as he did back when he was in Cincy, where he feels uncomfortable in the pocket, like he doesn't trust his line.
You know, it is his sixth offensive scheme in the last 6 years. So I'll say that for him. One thing he has done this year, and the reason why he's behind center right now, is because he is getting rid of the ball a little quicker. That was the problem in Cincinnati. And, of course, his line didn't help him. So, you know, he's got a little bit – his line wasn't very good last night, to be honest. And this
no,
is before
they weren't.
The injury to Boyd. Anytime anybody did a twist in front of them, they were just lost. They did their first assignment and just didn't do the second or third level assignment that they have to do. And people were coming in like crazy. So those are opportunities for a team that passed T.J. Watt coming back. This is going to be interesting. Miles Jack may have an interesting game. Devin Bush may have an interesting game. You know, it's going to be – Mollett could have an interesting game against Dalton. These are the interesting – all of a sudden, Pittsburgh can blitz. Pittsburgh can sack the quarterback. You know, when you're playing 3-3-5, you only have six guys. You'll have seven now, and one of them is an all-world outside linebacker. And so that's going to be interesting. I mean, it's going to be great. And we haven't felt that since TJ went down in game one.
Well, that's what we're all – you know, that's the thing about it. How much are we banking on TJ being TJ right away? You know, I mean, yeah, there's a lingering aspect in my mind that sometimes when you come off an injury, for the player coming off, you got to find out exactly what it is that you can do. I mean, you don't really know until you are a live go. You think you know, but you don't really know until – it's like the hammies. You know, you can do the heel drag on the ground, and they can test it in one of those machines and everything else. You can get a reading on the power strength between your quad and your hamstring and everything. Yeah, you know what? You don't know until you go out there and you just let it rip. And you hope it doesn't rip. That's the
big
thing about it.
You're talking about what people in the game call football shape.
Yes.
One thing is to be in shape like TJ is. Another thing is to be used to contact, to used to the opponent having a say in what you do physically on the field. And you're right. But look, if he doesn't sack anybody, if he just flushes Dalton and pressures him and he throws a bad pass, he did his job.
Oh, yeah.
And if he walks out of that game unhurt, he did his job. And so I just think he's going to be there. And all of a sudden, that entire offensive line, the entire game plan is going to be like, uh-oh, let's see. They don't know what they're going to get from T.J. Watt. Neither does Pittsburgh.
But I'll say this too, Alvaro, knowing TJ, he's not going to be satisfied with just flushing a guy out. You talk about a guy that wants to do his job over and above. You know, I mean, this guy is really dedicated. Did you ever see him in the midst of sitting in a lake, cuts out the ice, and takes an ice bath in a lake? That's over and above, man. That's just crazy. You know, I know
there
training.
It was a volunteer practice yesterday. Guess who was there first?
Oh, I can only imagine. He's chomping at the bit to be able to cut it loose out there.
Now, it's got to really beat him up to watch the team play a different scheme defensively, give up on pressuring the quarterback to make sure they don't get deep runs and gash and possession runs against the defense. He must have been sitting there going, can't wait to get back. That's been building. So it's going to be good. I think it's going to be great. I think the defense is charged up. One more thing. One thing that TJ does is he protects the secondary. He turns the secondary from a, you know, sometimes a little anxious situation to maybe playmakers. And again, if he doesn't sack the quarterback, but Pittsburgh ends up with a couple interception or deflected passes, TJ won. That's the bottom line.
Well, his return is going to be huge. Yeah. Just huge.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Now,
gentlemen,
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you first, Alvaro. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, have you had a chance to vote?
Oh, we're going to get that done today. Whoa. You better believe it.
Oh, absolutely. The ballot is sitting in front of me, Alvaro, as we speak, knowing that I got to get that. There's nothing more important than that democratic process.
I consider voting, this is like my Memorial Day. This is my Veterans Day. This is what I owe them. You know, no matter how I feel about a particular election or my life or physically, considering what they gave up,
absolutely.
I got to get up and I got to vote. Owe them that. I owe them all that.
That's a great reminder. There's no doubt about it. And to our military, our armed forces, men and women that have carved out this country, that have done such a great job, and to the first responders and everybody else. You know, I mean, we do owe this to go out and make sure you vote. So vote, right, baby?
Yeah. Yeah. This is our part in the defense of democracy, right? I mean, our servicemen and women go out and perform the physical tasks that's necessary to ensure that. But for us, this is our duty, right?
Absolutely.
This is what we're tasked with. This is something that is an honor and a privilege. And not a lot of places in this world get to do this. So do not take it for granted. Do not use that apathy in your reasoning. This is the way you speak, right? I mean, if there's something you don't like, this is the way you handle it. It's not about sitting on the sidelines and just complaining about it. Go out and take an active stance in that process to make sure you can craft something that's better for this country, that you can put put your family and yourself in a better position. That's the reason why we do this. So thank you, Alvaro, for mentioning that, because I think that is something that is important that needs to be stated on this day. Now, if you're listening to our podcast and you listen to it on Friday, this won't age well. But if you do listen to this on a delay of today, November 8th, then yes, it's very pertinent to do that for our live listeners and our slightly delayed listeners.
Beautiful. Well, Alvaro, I want to thank you very much, buddy. Appreciate you coming in the locker room here.
Hey, listen, thank you so much. I'm glad you invited me after they cleaned up the locker room. It smells so much better now.
Well played.
That happens next before I show up next time. Please.
Sounds good. We'll be talking to you next week. You know it.
Thank you.
All righty. All right. That was Spanish play-by-play broadcaster Alvaro Martin, courtesy of the Steelers Radio Network.
We got something going on.
Yeah, we do.
Wesley Euler here at the SNR Breaking News Desk. Had to keep you on pens and needles there just for a second to build the suspense. Breaking news as it relates to the Pittsburgh Steelers schedule. The kickoff for the Week 8 game against the Bengals on Sunday, November 20th. has been flexed to 4:25 on CBS. Those teams were originally scheduled to play in the Sunday Night Football primetime game. That game will now be played by the Chiefs and the Chargers, Steelers and Bengals, back to 4:25 p.m. It'll be the Steelers' only mid-time slot game of this season. Selfishly, here at the SNR News Desk, we love it because that means we'll all actually get home and get to bed before midnight. Max and Wolf, back to you.
Oh, thank you. That's Wesley.
Or will we? Or will we?
Or one of us might not.
At least two of us will get home.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Oh, man. Well, there we go. We have our answer. I was actually, it was funny. I was talking to Reagan Berube, our boss. And
right.
Reagan, I was like, do you think we could get flexed? He's like, well, we'll know by tomorrow afternoon, Max. He's like, I wouldn't book that ticket just yet until you know when we're going to be playing. So I now know so that I can proceed accordingly with booking my ticket. I'm going to imagine, Wolf, I might be live in the locker room on Monday morning.
All right. That could well be.
Yeah, because I don't think there's a flight out that's gonna make it in time.
Well,
so
you know what will happen?
We're going to be safe.
We got Studio H. You wear Studio H. You practically wear it.
You know, it's like that costume, you know, when people get the horse costume.
Yes.
You know, it's a two-person costume. So, I mean, you and I will be wearing it together. The question is, who will be the horse's ass on that one? Who's on the
oh,
backside?
Oh, you had
of it?
To go there. You had to
I
go
did.
There.
One has to do it. One has
oh,
to do it.
Oh, my heavens.
Who's going to stand up tall? Who's gonna bend over? You know, I mean, that's just really the costume. But, yeah, Studio H is a tight closet. It's a nice closet. It's a very well-lit closet. But it is leaves a little bit left to desire. We have to take turns. Like, we have to play telephone just to get stuff in the trash can. So it'll be fun. No, it'll be great. But, yeah, we're going to step aside. And also, I just want to make sure everybody knows this, that in addition to Tuesdays being the Mike Tomlin press conference day, it is also a glorious day for the SNR lineup. If you have podcasts or know where to get them, then you already know. But if you don't, you can be directed to the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, to get the godfather of Pittsburgh sports. That's right. Stan Saverin is talking everything Steelers. And today is drop day. Tuesday is drop day, as well as Steelers Week in Review, hosted by Johnny.
Pitch to Johnny? You can't pitch to Johnny. I'm Johnny.
Well, listen, Johnny, if you show up every Tuesday, we're going to pitch it to you, bud. Like first and goal, baby. We know you can outrun the opposition to the end zone, and you do that every week on the Steelers Week in Review, hosted by Wesley Euler. So Tuesday, big drop day. We got press conferences, we got Stan Saverin, and we got Wes Euler all on the same day dropping here on the Steelers mobile app as well as the iHeartRadio app. Make sure you go out, like, listen, and subscribe to it. And we'll step aside one more time in the locker room. We're going to clean up the jock straps and the tube socks since Alvaro just left. And we'll be back in the locker room with Wolf and Starks here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Tua in the gun. He's going to fake the handoff, left-handed toss, left flat, Hill, and he's tackled immediately on a great job by Arthur Mollett, and that's going to be great at the line of scrimmage. Matter of fact, he's going to lose four back to the 20. It's going to be second down and 19.
And, of course, that is the great Billy Hillgrove, and his call is with a great play by Arthur Mollett, which I had to point out because I was reading Teresa Varley's terrific article on Steelers.com, and Teresa really captures the essence of Arthur Mollett and his story, because when you look at that and realize that he grew up in the lower Ninth Ward, he was there during the Katrina disaster there, he was homeless at one point, and ended up in the Superdome actually, you know, riding out the storm there. But what he's overcome to get where he's at, that's a man, I totally respect what this man has done with his life. And I love to see people like this, Arthur, rising above and facing adversity head on. You know, it's amazing. I've just had a chance just to quickly meet him, not of any real substance. But when you meet somebody, Max, and now your first indication was, you know, this guy's pretty cool. There's something about him. And then you read his story a while later, and you realize, wow, what he's overcome to get where he's at. It really then kind of ties together with the handshake and the look in the eye when I first got to meet him up at training camp. I thought, it's amazing.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, Arthur is a unique young man. And like you said, he brings perspective because he's not an overly boisterous individual, you know?
Nope.
He's very reserved, but also don't get on his angry side.
I kind of got that. Although he did, remember he did have some words after a game, and he spoke up, and that's his prerogative, which was always great. Of course, you always want to make sure that the press is out, you know, when you're speaking to your guys. But I always admire a man that stands up and walks the walk, you know, with the talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I think that's something that we kind of look at it and we say, you know, this young man lives up to the hype. Like who is it? Is it FDR? Speak softly and carry a big stick. you know, he definitely brings the hammer.
Yes.
To a nail fight. That's for sure. Whether it's blitzing off the edge, whether it's taking the slot guy who's moving all over. He plays that nickel position to just great effectiveness. And I think that's something that when we look at one of the consistencies on this defense has been the play of Arthur Millette.
Yes.
You know, he's done his job at a very high level. And, you know, he earned that spot in camp.
Yes, he
because
did.
When you had a lot of different people moving in and out and trying to figure out who was going to be the guy, Arthur just stayed steady. He didn't worry. He wasn't looking over his shoulder. He was looking at everything in front of him, right? And I think that's one of the mantras. And when you think about being a professional athlete, like, he gets that aspect of it. He gets it. And I think that's pretty cool to see.
It is. You know, when Mike Tomlin describes him as a real NFL dude, you know, it says everything in limited words about what Mike Tomlin thinks of him, who is always, you know, I love the way he describes people. he's just got unique ability to kind of put your finger on it. But with Arthur Millette, he's one of these guys, like you said. You know, after Mike Hilton went to Cincinnati, I thought, wow, how are you going to find another Mike Hilton? Well, Arthur Millette is another Mike Hilton, or Arthur Millette is Arthur Millette. You know what I mean? He's a guy that I see right now. His ability is getting better week by week in the things that they're asking him to do, be it, you know, run defense, coming down, squeezing from the backside, coming off the slot, that sort of thing. He is one of these guys that's capable. He's tough. And I can see now what his upbringing did for him, because I can't even believe you could ride out the storm in New Orleans like that. And his family went north, and you know, it wasn't until later that he joined his family, and that it's pretty rugged. When you're living in, I think it was a school bus he was living in for a period of time when he was homeless. To have the ability and the strength of character to right your ways, you know, I mean, pull yourself out of that, and I'm sure there was some people that spoke and poured into his life and helped him to achieve and overcome. But to overcome all that sort of adversity that he faced, man, that's hats off to him. That's pretty terrific.
No, absolutely. And once again, you know, we kind of talk about just the makeup of the young man, right?
Right.
I mean, and these are all those traits. You know, it's a story behind the story, because, you know, we kind of look at guys on game day and you see a number, you see a name, but the story behind those names,
right,
you know, are so powerful, are so captivating. And you know, unless you grab the media guide and you try and read through it, and even then, it's still a snapshot. It's just a glimpse.
Mm-hmm.
But when you dig deeper, I mean, there's so many just great, tremendous men playing in the NFL and odds that have been overcome, and like you said, circumstances throughout the process. You know, to even hearing about, you know, different guys who have gone through these circumstances, and now they're going back and giving back into their communities. I think that's been some of the most refreshing things. I mean, you think about Warrick Dunn and all the things that he's done
for
various guys when it comes to building houses, like Deshaun Watson being one of those kids that benefited from Warrick Dunn's philanthropy. And now you see that person has ascended to this level. It's tremendous. And there's countless other stories and countless other individuals, but it's refreshing to know, you know, that good things can't happen out of bad circumstances.
Absolutely. Well, another guy that's undergoing a little bit of adversity, I wanted to move over and talk a little bit about Josh Allen. Did you see the hit on his arm when he released the ball by Bryce Huff from the New York Jets when he was dropping back and he beat Quisenberry, the backup to Spencer Brown at right tackle for the Buff Bills? And he came around the corner and he caught the arm as Josh Allen was launching the ball. And it reminded me of when Drew Brees blew out his shoulder in when he was in San Diego before he moved on to you know, become the great quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. But, you know, it's like a ballistic Udi Gurami in jiu-jitsu. You know, that arm lock.
Yeah.
You know, it's a figure four arm lock. The old catch wrestlers used to describe it as, you know, a figure four. But, I mean, I saw that happen, and the way his elbow flexed because he got hit right in the middle when he launched that ball, and I thought to myself, he's got to be injured. And he's being evaluated for an ulnar collateral ligament and related nerves. But the amazing thing that I wanted to throw out to you was remind, if you saw it, it was one thing, but another, he continued in the game and actually launched a bomb several plays later. I couldn't believe that he threw the ball. I mean, it was just the way he threw it. I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding me. This guy is a beast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's pretty crazy. But now, you know, of course, he's going to be injured. So you wonder what that does long term, if you're going to rest him this week or send Case Keenum in, or if you're going to push him through. And then now that UCL injury could be something that's lingering. And let's face it, I mean, that squad is good.
Right. But it revolves around Josh Allen.
It revolves all around Josh Allen and his mobility and ability to throw the ball. So you wonder if in a couple of weeks we're not having a different conversation. Because also think about this. The losses that the Bills have taken have been division losses.
Yeah.
Miami. Now the Jets.
Yep.
So if you can't control your division,
yep,
you know, you might not be as great as you think you are, and Kansas City's just being steady at 6-2.
Right,
Just biding their time, and I think that's why they also put that matchup, you know, when they flexed us out to that one, because, you know, between the Chargers are number two in their division, the Chiefs are number one in their division. That's always a toss-up type of game. You could see a new leader atop the AFC potentially in the next couple of weeks if Josh Allen, you know, can't get that thing on the mend as much as possible, because that's a pretty important ligament when it comes to releasing the football and throwing with the power that he throws with. That takes a little bit off of it, a little zip off of those passes.
Oh, absolutely. And I go back, I watched that thing over a couple of times in slow motion. And I mean, that hyperflexion. And what really bothered me is when they said it was an injury to the UCL and related nerves. When you hear related nerves or nerve damage, that makes you like go, ooh, you know, because that can be something that, wow, that can really manifest itself in several ways and create inflammation and all kinds of problems and issues.
Yeah, and the ever so technical term, dead arm.
I mean,
because that like the numbness and the tingly feeling can make you not, you know, because I mean, the biggest thing is understanding your body and feeling everything that you're doing. And if you have a spot that you don't know, and trust me, I don't know if you still got some, Wolf, but my left shoulder, you know, because I tore my labrum back in 2005.
Okay.
And I still never got it fixed because I didn't want to be in a sling for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's certain points where it's like, I don't feel this.
Yeah.
I don't feel this. It's not going where I expected it to. Now, granted, I can still kick butt. Now if I'm lifting something over my head, I don't know what I would be doing to lift something over my head at this age.
You might be reaching for a piece of pie that's up on the shelf. You know what I mean?
But I'm 6'8", so it's not technically over my
that's
head. It's just
true.
Kind of at an angle.
Short people have to deal with that, see?
Yeah, short. And how tall are you, Wolf, again?
6'1", a half. And a half.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Average height's 5'11". So you're tall too, bud. Even though it's your lower end of that spectrum, you're still in the tall category. So don't try and sneak down to, you know, the short people category. That's 2.5 inches. You know, I get it when you're bending over, you know, to eat at a countertop, you're not exactly 6'1" anymore, but you're still pretty tall.
Beautiful.
Oh, all my right. God. Well, let's take a break.
Okay, sounds good.
Oh, my gosh.
Before we get to discussion, what really is short and isn't short?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hey, here's the long and short of it, okay? We're going to break, and we'll be back here in the locker room. We'll start to the niches here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
On second and goal, Ben gets the snap. He waits, runs to his left, looks, directs traffic, and he's going to throw the ball away in the back of the end zone. Oh, it's going to be intercepted in the end zone, intended for Brown. Casey picked him off, and Ben gets up slowly.
Max, the return of DeMonte Casey, does it? Quite possibly. It's not official yet, but if he comes back, are we going to see more of the quarters, the three safety look?
I would love for that to come in, because what I tell you, Wolf, when we watched in the preseason, it was pretty devastating, pretty spectacular to watch. Because DeMonte KZ, I love the fact that his last name is KZ, because it rhymes with kamikaze.
You know? I thought you were going to say crazy, but instead you go kamikaze.
Or crazy KZ. I mean, you know, all the ones that end in Z.
There you
know,
go.
Just throw it in there, and the rhyme, not just the letter. But you know, it was something that. DeMonte KZ just brings a unique skill set, because he can play deep safety, but he can also play up on the line of scrimmage. He can play in the slot, and he brings a physicality to his work style that is just – it's disruptive. And I think that's – when we're thinking about the second half of this season and the schedule that we have in front of us, that should kind of be the calling card of the Steelers. We are going to be disruptive to whatever you had planned – in your regularly scheduled programming hour. We are here to mess things up. You know, who knows? Might get a little crazy since we get one mid-afternoon game this season. You know?
Yeah. Good. Well.
425. And let's just face it, the team that will be on the docket, I think it went pretty good last time we played them. Just saying. Cincinnati Bengals, Wolf.
Oh. I got
okay,
mixed.
There we go.
I was told. Okay. Totally blown away, because I'm thinking New Orleans Saints. I'm going, no, we lost the last three games to the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah. No. I'm talking the 425 game the following week. I'm disruptive.
Sorry, man.
No.
You know, that's just one of those crushed synapses failing to respond in my head right there.
Yeah, exactly. And I also it was a soft toss. It wasn't high enough, you know. I also know that as well. You know, coach pitch softball. I got to work on that. Or slow pitch baseball. Whatever.
Keep that
one
baby,
you want to call it.
You know, chest high. I have little
yeah,
issues
exactly.
going below.
In the framework. Stop trying to skim the knees or stop trying to skim the ankles. You know, no, I get it. But I think what I love about DeMonte KZ, right? It's you know, and I always like to say reckless disabandonment, but it's not that, because it's a very controlled, focalized attack that he brings. Like, he's very decisive on running exactly through your chest.
Yeah.
It's not just running and hopefully he hits it. No. He's lasered in between the numbers, face that little U-bar. You know what I'm saying? Of course, they don't have U-bars as much anymore.
No, not as much. Yeah.
So, but anyways, where the Schutt sign is or the Riddell sign is, he's looking at it and he's trying to go check your heartbeat visually. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he does when he's trying to perform. So I know, you know, he's obviously served his suspension, the injury and everything. So I'm hoping he's back to full speed to add into the pile. Because I think if you get DeMonte KZ then back in and you add in some health things with the other guys, and then, of course, William Jackson, what he can contribute. I mean, now you're looking at a very healthy secondary and with a lot of depth. And I think that's something that we can all say would be a breath of relief for us to have guys coming at full speed. Imagine you can bring the full strength of your defense into these contests in the second half of the season. That would be tremendous. That takes a lot off the plate of Minka and Terrell as well. Arthur Millett gets to continue being Millett the Mallet in this process, right? Bring a hammer to a nail fight. And then, of course, you throw in, you know, the health of Cam Sutton, Akello right. Weatherspoon, and Levi Wallace. You know, you hope that, you know, Levi can come along and be back to full strength. But that's a pretty good secondary to go along with what we have defensively that we'll be adding T.J. Watt, right, on top of already right. having Miles Jack, Bobby Spillane and company, and Devin Bush up there that second level. And who knows? Maybe we see some moments from Mark Robinson. Maybe Mark Robinson gets
you never
a hat
know
because he is a guy who's a skilled pass rusher. I think for being a former running back, he knows how to blitz. And when you're thinking about the three linebacker looks, imagine you go three linebackers and three safeties. That would be interesting.
That would be very interesting.
You know, just throwing it out there. Just a change up.
You never know. Well, here's what I think. Think about this. KZ, I knew he partially broke his forearm. Well, he completely broke his forearm. He relocated his wrist. You know, a dislocation. I always call it a relocation because it always looks odd. It's out of place. But they had to put 9 screws in a plate in his forearm and wrist. And this is a guy who, you know, he's not just a banger. He had 12 interceptions in his past 49 games. And going back to 2018, he had 7. So this guy is capable not just of being the box, a tough guy, you know, running through the chest of a guy. This is a guy that's got skills in the art of taking away the ball.
Well, and I think that's something that we have to continually play on, right? We need more guys who are willing to go take the ball away.
Yes.
And that can't catch it as well. But I digress. I don't want to harp on that, Miami. anymore. Sorry. That's one of my crush synapses. The frontal lobe just tends to spout things out of relevance.
It's called the gumball effect.
Yeah. But I think it is something to monitor. And, of course, you know, after us will be the Mike Tomlin press conference, which will be followed by this broadcast. And hopefully he does address some of those things. And as we progress through the week, we can kind of monitor that, Wolf, and especially with you being eyes and boots on the ground. That'll be important. Sorry about that.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Can't Heimlich you, buddy. Can't, you know.
Yeah, I know. And you know, if you miss me or you miss any of this show, you can feel free to go download it. On all the podcast outlets, you can go on iHeartRadio. You can go on Steelers Mobile. You can go on Apple and Spotify. You can go on all of them. SoundCloud. You can go anywhere you want. You can find this show in the locker room with Wolf and Starks, broken down by hours, and all of our other great shows and lineups. You can catch the Blitz with, of course, the aforementioned Wesley Euler and Arthur Motes. The Standard with Tom and Jacob. Today, Steelers Week in Review as well with Wes. Also, The Godfather dropped today, and he drops on Thursdays. But most importantly, we appreciate you guys liking, listening, and subscribing to all of those. But more importantly, listening to us live. Have a great day today. Remember, get out and vote. And we'll be back tomorrow in the locker room, 10 to noon, here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.